Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, it is a delight and a privilege for me to get to interview an old friend. And we're both old, but he is a dear brother in Christ. Ray Comfort is known, I think, to all of my listeners and viewers. He is being used by the Lord tremendously, and we're very thankful for that and pray God's continued blessing on him. He's done a lot of books, but he's got a new one called Jesus Amplified, The Deeper Meaning of the Words of Jesus. And so, Ray, welcome to the broadcast, and tell us about this latest work.
Thank you, Jim. I love devotionals. I love writing devotionals. They're such an encouragement. I like to give comfort to people. And the reason we call it Jesus Amplified is because I love the Amplified Bible. It's not as well known as it used to be, I think. In New Zealand it was well known, but when I came to the U.S. it wasn't as widely known. But the Amplified Bible, well, whenever you quote from it, you've got to quote louder, because it's the Amplified Bible. What it actually does is that it amplifies, enlarges the words of Jesus. For example, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." That's the normal rendering of that. But the Amplified Bible goes back to the original Greek and says, what does it really mean? So when it comes to the word believe, it doesn't leave it there. It says, believes on, trusts in, relies on, clings to. I remember reading that many years ago and thinking, wow, that really perfectly sums up your belief in Jesus, because I think Spurgeon complained about that word many years ago. He says, why have we got the word believe in English? Because so many believe in Jesus historically and they're not saved. Yeah. And they sit back and say, well, I believe in Jesus, and yet scriptures say demons believe and tremble. So
yes.
That's why I fell in love with the Amplified Bible, because it helped me to understand that believe actually means to rely on, cling to, and trust in Jesus. And it makes all the difference. It's like what you do with a parachute. You don't believe in a parachute. You rely on it, cling to it, trust in it. And that's what we do with the Savior.
Amen. I believe in Abraham Lincoln, but I don't really trust him at this point.
That's a good point.
The wonderful thing about Jesus is that he is alive.
Yeah.
And so as you make very clear to people, the relationship that we can have with him is transforming.
Yeah, the skeptic says, and I hear it all the time, you can't prove God or Christianity. And they say amazing statements like, nobody knows. And I say, let's just stop for a minute. There are 8 billion people on this earth, and you're telling me you know what 8 billion people know and don't know? And they go, oh. I said, what you really should say is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not 8 billion people don't know. And I say, you don't know, and I'd like to share how you can know.
Amen.
By telling you what the gospel says. And this is what the gospel says. When you repent and trust in Jesus, you don't have a change of mind. You don't turn over a new leaf. It's a whole new tree.
Amen.
God makes you a brand new person in Christ. If any man's in Christ, he is a new creation. All things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. That's your own personal miracle. Remember the Pharisees, I think, or Sadducees came to Jesus and said, give us proof. And Jesus said, no sign will be given to you except the sign of Jonah. Well, what's that about? Well, that's a type of the gospel. Death swallowed Jesus and spat him out, didn't like the taste of the Son of God. And that's the proof, that's the sign every skeptic can have. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. It makes us brand new on the inside. When I was first born as a brand new person, 75 years ago, it was radical. I didn't exist, and then suddenly I was conceived. I did exist, radical. But when I was born again, it was just as radical. I got the shock of my life. It's been 52 years I've been a Christian, and my mouth is still like a road tunnel. God made me brand new. Ray Comfort, BC, suddenly didn't exist.
Praise
and
God.
This new person did. Something in me wanted to please God more than anything. I can't tell you how much I loved surfing. I was a surfer. Hair on my shoulders and lived for surfing. If an old lady was walking across the road and the surf was good, I'd just run her over to get there. Slight exaggeration. But it had me by the ears. I absolutely loved it. As soon as I became a Christian, dropped it. It was vanity. It was futile compared to what I'd found in Christ.
Amen.
Everlasting life. And if the world knew what we had, they'd plead with us. They think we've got religion, and yet we've found everlasting life. You know, right at the moment, there are literally hundreds of millions, I don't think I'm exaggerating, probably hundreds of millions of people around the earth in these torture chambers we call gyms, lifting weights that are far too heavy for them. And I believe in physical fitness, as you can see from my body. And they're drinking green slime to try and extend their life just a few years, just to stay healthy and well, which is great. But we're not offering an extension of this life. We're saying God will give everlasting life to all those who trust in, rely on, and cling to the Savior. And that's the message we preach. And that's what this devotional is about. You know, every devotional I write is has got a secret message. It challenges Christians to share their faith. It equips Christians to share their faith. So it's not just a little devotional where you're encouraged and patted on the head and, you know, praise the Lord. It reminds us there are people around us that are going to hell and that we have a moral obligation. We're like doctors with a cure to cancer. We're like the disciples who said, we cannot but speak that which we've seen and heard. So I have a secret agenda in all the devotionals and books I write. They're little tonics to encourage us, but encourage us in the right direction. Some people make fun of my name. They say, oh, Ray Comfort, you sure are a comfort to us. You prod us and all that. But a friend of mine many years ago said he saw a painting of James the First, and James the First had a sword in his hand, and he was poking the back of his troops as they were going into battle. And underneath it, it said, James the First comforting his troops. So the word comfort in the original meaning doesn't mean a cat on the lap in front of the fireplace, pat, pat. No, it's saying encourage.
Yes.
Push on, provoke. And the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter.
Yes.
And so the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and gives us boldness and gives us courage, encourages us, puts courage in us.
Yes.
And so that's what we as Christians need to be like in these closing hours of time when things are very dark. We need to let our light shine now than ever before.
Amen. And I love the fact that you're building all of this around the words of Jesus. And it's as the Amplified does, when you take what is there and really begin to look at the nuances, the application, what, how does this change me in light of what he says? It's a wonderful thing. The words that Jesus spoke are indeed the words of life. He changes us through his word. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And all through the process of creation, we see the power of God's word. And then it turns out that his eternal word is Jesus. And so in John 1, when it talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. And that Word became flesh and lived among us. The words that Jesus spoke are the words that bring life to those who believe. And he does, as you said, really transform us. He doesn't just say nice things, or as you would say, pat us on the head. He calls us and empowers us to live an entirely transformed life.
Yes, I get a lot of lessons from my dog. I've had a number of dogs, and I'm a huge, well, I'm not huge, but I'm a big dog lover. If I meet someone with a dog, I don't mind getting on the ground with that dog in front of them and just going eye to eye with the dog and seeing his tail wag. God's put the smile at the other end, because I think dogs have got so many lessons for us. And one of the great lessons from my dog is the way she eats food. It's disgusting. I cannot get used to it. I've got a piece of steak and I'm chewing it over and I bite a little bit off. I give it to the dog. Gone. She
Yes.
didn't even chew it. Didn't even taste it. It's just down. And I think, are your taste buds in your stomach? Did you enjoy that really? And I even went to ChatGPT and I said, why did dogs gulp it down so quick? And it came back with 11 evolutionary answer. I said, no, don't give me that stuff. I want some good stuff. So it came back and said, dogs are afraid of someone stealing their food. It's one of the reasons. And the other reason is their mouths don't go like ours do. They don't chew things over it. It goes
Right.
up and down. So it's just get it down. And sometimes we read the word of God like that. We don't meditate on it. And the scriptures say,
Amen.
blessed is the man who meditates. That word meditate really means to chew over. When the
Yes.
Bible speaks of reading or meditating on the word, it doesn't mean get up, read Leviticus, satisfy your conscience, you're away for the day. No, you're going to get indigestion. Chew over the words of Jesus. Chew over the Psalms. Chew over the Proverbs. Let them go into you. Let them get absorbed into your body to energize you during the day to do the will of God. And so that's what this devotional does. It takes the words of Jesus and amplifies them. And so many Christians don't realize who Jesus is. Sounds weird, but you say to them, God was manifest in the flesh. And they go, no. Jesus wasn't God. He was a son of God. And I say, well, look, let me share some scriptures with you. It says in scripture, God was manifest in the flesh. He was the express image of the invisible God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. What that knowledge does is makes you look again at the words of Jesus and not
Yes.
pass over them and gulp them down. Like even you see where Jesus wept. You could write a whole book on that, on
Yes.
the fact that Jesus wept. It showed his compassion, his empathy. In other words, it's just be still to the storm. How can you calm a storm that was terrifying disciples? By just speaking to it. How can you walk on water? How can you multiply loaves and fishes and all these incredible things? And it was because there was never a man like Jesus.
Amen.
The Pharisees sent out officers to arrest him, and they came back after hearing him speak and said, never a man spoke like this man.
Amen.
Never a man said the things that this man said.
Amen.
That knowledge means that you don't jump over them. And what I've learned to do is just grab a chapter like Colossians chapter 2 and stay with it for 2 whole weeks. Just the
Praise God.
same chapter again and again, saying, I'm going to pull these gold nuggets out from the rock of scripture. I'm going to break it up and see exactly what it says. And the weird thing, and this happens to every Christian, is you're reading a Bible verse that you've read 4,000 times and suddenly you go, whoa,
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Amen.
Because scripture is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's got hidden truths in it, like gold nuggets are hidden. I think it's very interesting that anything that's precious in this life, you have to search for it. You don't find pearls floating on the ocean. You've got to dive for them. You don't find gold nuggets sitting on the ground. You don't find diamonds just sitting on the top. No, you've got to dig. And if you want the precious truths of God's word, be like David who said, I rejoiced at your word as one that finds great treasure. And you've got to dig for treasure. And there's something exciting about hidden treasure, finding diamonds that would deepen wherever you find them, or pearls deeper than that oyster. And when you find it, it's just nothing like it. As a Christian, you go, wow, Lord, your word is just so wonderful.
Amen. One of the things we emphasize with our students here at the ranch, and it's contagious for the staff too, is memorizing the scripture and then going over it and over it when there are those times you're awake in the night or you're in a difficult situation or you're just in a boring situation. You can call those scriptures to mind and begin to go over them, to recite them again. You mentioned about scripture being quick and powerful. A lot of folks don't know that quick there, if you meditate on it, means alive. God's word is alive, and it really does transform our minds, transform our lives. God uses his word to change us. And again, what you're doing with this devotional book is inviting people into the scriptures that they might know Jesus better, that they can allow his word to change the way that we think, to change the way that we speak, to change the way that we view others, to change the way that we live. And so you've helped us in so many ways for so many years, but I want to encourage people, take a look at this book right here, Jesus Amplified. And it's available everywhere. And I want to encourage our listeners and our viewers, get hold of that book if you're looking for a good devotional that'll take you into the Word of God and help you to really think about what is this that Jesus has spoken and how does this impact my life? How am I supposed to live in light of what he says? Now, Ray, you've been doing some things lately with Turning Point. And I've watched some of the videos of you going on to campuses, and God has really extended your reach in a new way. It's different from a lot of things you've been more famous for doing, but you've been speaking to crowds and speaking to young people for a long time. What do you see God doing on the campuses as you seek to bring his word into that environment in cooperation with Turning Point?
Well, COVID did the church an incredible favor. What it did was cause a whole generation to remember their mortality. Mm-hmm. You know, death is for the elderly. That's the teenage mantra. And yet what COVID did is, no, no. You know, 150,000 people die every 24 hours. Most people don't know that. So when I go to colleges, and I normally go twice a day to a local college and film people for our YouTube channel, mm-hmm. but what I do is open up with, do you think there's life after death? I don't mention God, Jesus, heaven, hell, the Bible, sin, righteousness, and judgment. I just ask them for their opinion. Yep. Most people say, yeah, I think there is. Mm-hmm. So you think it's heaven and hell? Yeah, possibly. I said, which one are you going to? There's a big difference. We better get this sorted out. And I found that when I say something like, do you ever read the Bible? They'll be quick to say, no. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I said, did you know in the Old Testament, God promised he would destroy death? And in the New Testament, we're told how he did it. Did you know that? And they go, no, I didn't know that. And what I'm doing is I'm appealing to their will to live, the God-given will to live. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes 3:11, God's placed eternity on your hearts. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking to a primate. I'm not talking to a dog or a cat. I'm talking to someone who was made in the image of God, and something yes. in them says, I don't want to die. Mm-hmm. So when I dangle that little God's promised everlasting life through the gospel, it's enough salt on their tongue to cause them to say, tell me. And that's mm-hmm. when I do what Jesus did. I take them through the Ten Commandments to show them they've sinned, and then bring the cure of the gospel. No doctor ever gives a cure without first convincing of the disease. Otherwise, Amen. The cure Amen. Won't be appreciated. It won't be appropriated. But once they've understood they've got a disease that's terminal and he's got a cure, they'll say, give it to me, give it to me. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to want the gospel if they don't understand they're in big trouble with God on Judgment Day, heading for hell. And when they realize their true state, they'll say, well, what should I do to be saved? So we need to give the Philippian jailer his own personal earthquake. We need to cause Felix to tremble mm-hmm. because there is a fear that's legitimate. It's the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says through the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And until people fear God, they won't depart from evil. And so I have great joy in having these biblical truths that I can draw from, the sinner's will to live, the mm-hmm. power of the gospel, the Holy Spirit convicting of sin, the power of the conscience mm-hmm. that resurrects the moment you bring up those commandments, the work of the law written on the heart, the conscience bearing witness.
Yes.
It's a great ally right in the heart of the enemy. So when we learn these simple principles, it surely makes sharing the gospel so much easier because God's given us weapons that are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And you were talking about memorizing scripture. Let me say this. In my youth, I memorized a lot of evangelistic scripture. I memorized passages. And I'm so pleased I do because they're still in the memory banks. But you know what? The memory banks aren't working. My wife and I have been trying to learn two verses for about 2 weeks. And as you get older, you cannot retain things you put in your memory. It's just not the same. So that's why you should, when you're young, remember your creator in the days of your youth.
Yes.
Why memorize passages of scripture? Put them in there. Put them in your memory banks because you'll want to draw on them as you get older and you can't remember just the same. So take advantage of your youth. Use your youthful energy for the kingdom of God. Use your memory. Use your wit, your quick mind while you can, because things don't get better. They get worse. And you need to take advantage of that which God's gifted you.
Amen. We have kids who come to the ranch and they're shocked when they find out that we want them to memorize a chapter at a time. And the first chapter they're to memorize is Psalm 1, which explains why they ought to memorize scripture. And that is, you want to be able to meditate on it day and night. And the way to do that is you hide it in your heart. And a lot of them over the years have looked at me and said, Pastor Wood, I can't memorize anything. And I say, what's your name? They'll say, Johnny. And I say, you didn't have to look that up, did you? You have that memorized. And I'll ask them a few other questions similarly. And they're like, okay. Because all of us, especially when we're young, you're exactly right about that, memorize tons of things. And if we're just loading up our memories with stuff that's fluff, we're not going to have a lot to draw on, a lot of nourishment. But if you hide God's word in your heart, we've got kids who memorized over 50 chapters of the Bible while they've been students here. And we had years ago, we have been promised to the children for years, if you memorize the whole Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we'll take you to the beach for a week.
Whoa.
And it's a wonderful, wonderful time. I'm getting too old to do that now, but we've done that for decades. And so one little boy, 10 years old, had just come, very difficult situation. He got the trip to the beach. On the way back, he said, Pastor Wood, what would I have to do to get a second trip to the beach? And I said, well, you've already done the Sermon on the Mount. That's three chapters. How about four chapters for the next trip? And I said, do Romans 8, Romans 12, Hebrews 11, and Hebrews 12. Now, that was in November that he asked the question. And by March, he had all four of those chapters memorized. Now, that young man is now a medical doctor, because God's word really sharpens the mind. But not everybody is going to be brilliant, and some people are going to memorize more easily than others. But everybody can memorize God's word. And the purpose is not to show off, and it's not just for a beach trip. The purpose is so that you can meditate on God's word day and night, so that it can be constantly on your heart, in your mind, shaping and reshaping the way that you live. And Ray, you have been speaking the Lord's word to people who don't start out necessarily friendly, but and not everybody you speak to gets saved. But I know that all the people you speak to are going to have to give an account when they stand before God one day, and their blood will not be on your hands, because you have faithfully, repeatedly over the years declared the words of life. And I thank you, brother, for your ministry. I thank God for your faithfulness. I've been praying for you as you've been now going out to campuses as part of Turning Point's invitation. But know that there are a lot of us out there who really do appreciate you and pray for you and thank God for what you're doing.
Thank you, Jim. God bless.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.